Welcome to the Jessica Pennelly Podcast. I am the female coach to empower your mind and teach you how to become confident in your body. Join me on this voice journey as I hold space for you to reconnect back to yourself. Hello and welcome back to the Jessica Pennelly Podcast. I'm very excited for today's episode because I not only interviewed just one person, but I interviewed two, and we got to do it in person, not over Zoom. So that was pretty exciting for me, a first for the Jessica Pennelly Podcast. But before we get into today's episode, do not forget that you should be applying for Lifestyle by Design, which is my one-on-one mentorship for busy women just like you. I've created this mentorship for women who find that they need to repair the relationship with themselves, who find that they live life on autopilot, feel guilt or shame for putting themselves first, get into a habit of people pleasing, and one of the biggest ones for me, living in fear of what people think, living in fear of failure, living in fear of succeeding, living in fear of the unknown. And every single thing that I have just listed are things that I've gone through personally, things that made me stay small, made me stay in the same spot running on the hamster wheel for years, not days, weeks, or months. It was years, just keep going and going and going. And I don't want you to be in that same position. And that's exactly why I've created Lifestyle by Design. It is application only. It's for the women who are ready to make a commitment to themselves, ready to make an investment for themselves. So if you're listening and you're like, I'm good, cruising through life, I don't really have any plans, or I just want to do what I've always been doing, do not head to the show notes and apply. It is not for you. It is for those women right now nodding their head thinking, fuck, is Jess literally reading what is in my mind right now? Because that is me and I need to make a change. Just think, where will you be in a year's time if you don't make the investment and the commitment to you? Right now, you keep putting time and energy into every single person around you. It is time, girl. It is time to put the time and the energy into you. So head to the show notes below, apply for Lifestyle by Design. Let's hop in a Zoom call. Let's see how we vibe. And I would love to take one of my podcast listeners on and really help you get from A to B of where you are envisioning right now as I'm speaking. But I'm not going to go on anymore because I really want to get into today's podcast episode. You are all going to love it. Here it is.
Green Teresa would say, buy a fucking Bradley kid.
Motherfucking Bradley.
So I'm sat here in James's apartment with James and Aiden, and I actually got lost on the way here. My mistake. I'm so sorry, guys. But here we are. Anyway, would you like to tell the audience who exactly are James and Aiden and why are you on the podcast?
Yeah, good question. So I'm Aiden, and this is James.
I'm James.
And so we are both e-commerce brand owners and entrepreneurs. We've been doing it for about 2 years now, give or take. And we run multiple brands, most notably Brightly Teeth Whitening. And as well, we have a coaching and consulting business.
That's it.
So what made you guys start this? And wait, how old are you both?
Yeah, so I'm 21.
I'm 20.
Young chickens compared to me. Yes. What made you start this and so young? I'm impressed.
Two separate reasons. So for me personally, what happened was I was working in a cafe when I was 18 years old. I was on a gap year, and basically my lifestyle consisted of playing Call of Duty and making coffees for people at the cafe. And I have a hobby. I like collecting vinyl records and I like drinking coffee. And I couldn't afford to do that on the money I was making at my cafe job. And I did what everybody else does, is I Google how to make money online, and I went down the rabbit hole and it all stemmed from there. So I started out, I learned email marketing was the first skill I ever built, which is obviously something you do with e-commerce, which is learning how to use email and marketing strategies to sell products. So I did that, I got my first few clients, and then built up my business there. I did sales, I did e-commerce, I did consulting, and I've just built multiple different channels of income. All built around e-commerce, and it's been a pretty crazy journey.
Yeah, fantastic. And the reason why I started e-commerce or even just online businesses in general, I've always loved the idea of owning a business and having that freedom and control over your income and your lifestyle, most importantly. And as well, growing up in a family that, you know, owns businesses, I wanted to pursue that. And I started at a very, very young age. I did all sorts of different things, everything from, you know, like Bitcoin and whatnot. And then eventually in uni, I met James. We both liked online business. We both did a bit of copywriting and sales. One thing led to another. We decided to open up our first e-commerce business together, which, you know, obviously wasn't the best, right? But from there we learned and we grew multiple businesses, including Brightly.
Let's just backtrack a little bit. So you guys met at uni. What created this bond between you two? That you're like, yep, you're the guy I'm going to go into business with. Alcohol. Amazing.
Yes.
The bonding power of alcohol.
I think a lot of people meet, you know, at networking conferences or startup conventions or all these kind of things. I mean, me and Aiden met under the influence at a university party.
Amazing.
However, you know, we're very open. We're very honest. And we're like, yo, listen, you know, I want to build something big. You know, here's who I learn from, here's who I study, here's what I'm doing. And I think it's one of those things where we just met and we matched vibrationally and it just kind of went from there. And me and Aiden had a few coffees and after a few cute little coffee dates, we realized, hey, listen, we want to do the same thing. We may as well partner up on this.
Yeah.
And we just kind of connected from there.
So who quit uni first?
James did.
I did, yes.
Yes. Was that scary?
The issue was this. The issue was I was already making a few grand a month online before I started uni. Mm. So I started uni and I was so wrapped up in this idea of online business that I couldn't focus on any of my studies.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I was a few months into uni at that point and I was like, well, everything is growing. I'm making more and more money each month. Mm. There's no point in me being here. So I dropped out. Mm. And then Aiden followed suit pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Did you feel that you just had to start uni because you had enrolled and you're like, okay, I may as well? Is that why you went along with it?
So my mother is extremely well educated. Mm-hmm. She's a very smart woman and she has 3 degrees and she always wanted me to go to university. And so I got into, it was University of Western Australia. I got accepted in, I was on a gap year. And so I'd put in the work, I'd done the ATAR, I'd done the exams. Mm-hmm. I may as well go and see what it's all about. By then I'd already been accepted and done my orientation and stuff. So I went through with it and enjoyed the partying, enjoyed the people, enjoyed the lifestyle, you know, met Aiden, but then it kind of served its purpose for what it could offer me.
100%, yeah. And the reasons why I went into uni, it was funny. I went into uni with the intentions not to get a degree that was going to be a byproduct of, you know, fully seeing it through, which I didn't.
Yeah.
I went there with the intentions to find a business partner, which is funny.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I used it as
a... So you manifested James.
Pretty much.
Amazing. 100%,
yeah. How was that? I didn't know
that. Yeah. And
I love it.
For sure. And, you know, it was funny. So I went in there with the intentions to quite literally find a business partner. And I had started a couple of ventures with other people as well, which didn't happen.
What ventures? Fall through.
Like around AI and tech development and stuff like that, because I was studying computer science and data science.
Yeah.
None of that worked. Didn't meet the right people. I found it very, very hard until I found James. So,
And then you guys met. What a romantic story. I love it. So I know you guys mentioned when I met up with you last week that you went on a mini holiday. Was it Queensland?
Brisbane.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
We've been on a couple of holidays together. Yeah.
Let's speak about your first holiday together. And you guys creating what you've created.
So what happened? And this is quite interesting because I haven't heard of anything like this, at least in any of my other friendships or anyone I know. What happened was me and Aiden met at a party and we got coffee a few times. We got connected and we were just sitting around in it was Reed Library, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I had a 21st that I was invited to over in Brisbane, and it was the first time I've had money to be able to, you know, go fly. Not only fly somewhere just for the sake of a birthday, but to be able to fly on my own without my family. So I was like, listen, man, I'm going. Do you want to come? Man, because I didn't want to go alone.
Yeah.
He was like, you know what, let's do it. And so we got an Airbnb. It was really, really cool. It looked like a beach house, had a pool and a spa and a barber. It was really, really awesome.
Nice.
And we flew over there. We did the partying. We did the thing. And we just connected on such an awesome level because that kind of spontaneous activity between two people who realistically barely know each other.
Yeah.
You can't do that without feeling like there's something more here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I know Aiden had a blast as well.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. It was a fantastic, like, weekend getaway.
Yeah. What other holidays have you guys been on? Or little trips?
Yeah, we've been to like Melbourne and Sydney together.
Yep.
Yeah, that was kind of like to go meet up with some friends.
Nice.
over East. We like to, you know, obviously work while we go on holidays and stuff like that. Which it's a great way to, one, be very productive, get work done, but as well, you get to go to different cities, explore different places, and meet people that you meet online, because we meet a lot of people online.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, we met online,
yeah,
and here we are recording a podcast.
Yeah.
Do you find, let's go back to the holiday and partying and enjoying the city that you're in, do you find that it can be a bit of distraction, though, to run a business or create a business?
It definitely can. I'm not going to say I have the best work ethic in the world. Mm-hmm. It's gotten a lot stronger over the last year.
Yeah.
However, the biggest thing is setting intentions. Is if you're going away for a week, you know, if you go in, you're like, I'm going to work while I'm away. Of course I will. Mm. You're not going to.
Yeah.
Right? But if you go and you're saying, listen, there are three major tasks that I want to go to a new place, a new change of scenery, and I'm going to get these three things done. I'm going to build this store. I'm going to build this funnel. I'm going to sort XYZ things out. Then yes, you'll do it because you can schedule in that time while you're away.
Yeah.
So you can see the sights, you can do the partying, but you can also have those dedicated work blocks. So you leave, you've done everything, but you've also used a new scenery to motivate you to finish those three tasks.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, but if it's not scheduled, it's not real.
Yeah, you know? That is so true. I think it can be hard to kind of think, all right, I'm making a bit of money, let's go see a new city or let's get a new environment. And it's like, oh, it's like a shiny object, isn't it? It's like all these things that you want to do. But I agree, over the past couple of years, my own work ethic has gotten a lot better traveling. Just went to Sydney and I networked a lot. I went out a lot, but it was also probably majority working, but it's so true. You got to schedule it in. You got to set those intentions to say, this is what I'm actually doing. Make a plan about it or else it never happens.
Yeah.
My next question for you guys is, what really pushed you to start your business Brightly Together? And I want you to speak about it because you're so young, and I know there's people going to be listening that are around your age, maybe younger, my age, older, and they're going to think, fuck, I just don't know if I can start a business. Where do I begin?
For sure. Yeah, so we've run multiple dropshipping businesses before, and those are more behind the scenes. Mm. What we really wanted is like a legacy project, so to speak, something that we can, you know, grow over the years together very publicly as well. We can show people and share people and have multiple other people on the journey, but we also wanted something that would last like a really long time. Like I'm talking 5-10 years, right? And you know, that was the intentions with Brightly, and that's why we put so much effort into building it out, and you know, different things such as the branding and, you know, really dedicating time to it. It's all because we want a legacy from it.
I love that. And for anyone that doesn't know, Brightly is teeth whitening. It's so good. I'm a little biased, but it is. It's amazing. It's a great product. You guys should be proud.
Yeah, for sure.
But did you ever have times in the beginning when you were building this and you're like, oh, this is just too hard?
Yeah, 100%. Especially when it came to like designing the packaging.
Okay.
Something as simple as like the box packaging, you have a look at it. It took me a month, you know, working with other people to get that done. And there was a couple of times, even just in that small little process, where I'll get a revision back from the design and I'm like, oh my, you know, oh my God, these people just don't see my vision. It's not going to work.
Mm.
It's not looking how I want it to work. Do I find another team? Do I do this? Do I do that? But just having that perseverance and going back to the strong why of, you know, this is something that I want to be a legacy. If it takes an extra week or an extra month even to design it and get it done, that's okay. As long as we get the final product out, and it's something that we're proud of. That's all that matters.
Did you guys ever clash during the process?
No, not really. No. We clash on things all the time. It's part of being business partners.
Yeah.
But when it came to Brightly, it was very, very simple. We had very clear intentions. We want amazing branding, amazing logos, like just colorful, vibrant. And we talk about this on some of our live streams in our free Facebook group, where one of the biggest parts about e-commerce is finding things that are already working, but finding a way to find a gap in the market and position yourself there. And you look at what Highsmile are doing and Snow are doing, and all these teeth whitening brands, they're all incredible. They're making millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all going down the medicinal route, the dental route. It's all very clinical.
Mm.
We want to do the exact opposite. And so the biggest thing was we want to be fresh and vibey and beachy. And that's what we did with Brightly. And so it was just whatever means necessary, we're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good attitude. How did you guys get to have that mindset, the growth mindset of, I want this, I have this desired reality, I'm going to make it happen?
Yeah, putting in the reps.
Yeah.
You gotta, just to speak on that topic, like, you know, so to speak, creating your reality or creating a project or something, like, you gotta start small. You gotta start small with a small goal, and you need to see that goal through, right? Mm-hmm. And just putting in the reps, going through the process, because at the end of the day, the process, regardless of whatever the project is or whatever the life goal or the reality you want to create yourself, you have to go through the same process. You go through the same obstacles, and there's the same, very similar patterns. And through reps, you get used to it. You understand that, hey, you know, life sucks right now in the business. Everything's going against me. But I know that every other time that I've had everything go against me, you know, the next day, everything is going to plan and everything works out. And having that faith and knowing full well that, you know, this is just a small little storm that I'm weathering. It's 100% going to be over. Nothing that's happened before has ever actually hurt me. Well, then we're going to be okay.
But I think a lot of people forget that, though, that even though right now things may look really shitty and you can't really see through, it's all murky, there's the other side, you know, the law of duality. There's always an opposite side to something. What would both your advice be to people who are listening now and they're thinking, well, no, I actually can't see the light at the end of the tunnel?
So there is learned helplessness and there is learned resourcefulness. 98% of the world is living in learned helplessness, meaning it's not working, it's not going to work, I should probably give up, it's this person's fault, it's this client's fault, it's Facebook ads aren't working for me, it's my product, it's my brand, it's this and that, and they give up or they try something new. That's learned helplessness. Learned resourcefulness is a muscle that you need to build.
Mm-hmm.
And learned resourcefulness is like the mother skill for entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything is my fault. Everything is my responsibility, but I hold the power to change it.
Yeah.
Right? And at the end of the day, if you accept responsibility at the lesson, I may not know what's going on right now. I may not know what I'm going to have to do yet. I may not know what's on the other side of this quote unquote storm, but it's completely my fault. And it's my responsibility to do it. Therefore, I have the power to change it. There is always a way where there is a will.
100%. Yeah.
That's the mother skill.
That's where, you know, putting in the reps comes into play, because, you know, we can sit here and we can talk about it and we can say all this stuff, but it's a different thing to experience it. That's why I've always got to start small. You got to start with a small, easy to achieve project, you know. Start with a small store, you know, with a small goal in mind, you know, hey, I want to get an extra couple $100 a week. I mean, that's how we started.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think people often have these huge goals, which is great. You should always have huge, big goals, dream big. I always say that. But I agree, when you're starting something, especially a new venture, whether it's a business, whatever it may be, a new phase of your life, to just start with the small 1%, rather than thinking, okay, I have this huge goal that I want to achieve, I'm getting overwhelmed, I'm just not going to start at all. And I think so many people go through this cycle where it's like, it's too much, it's too big, I'm just going to stay doing the same thing. Maybe next year will be a better time. Did you ever have moments where you thought, okay, it's a little bit hard, I'm going to try something new?
Yes. We definitely have. However, we've never taken action on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You always get that thought.
What's the step then for you to say, okay, maybe I should try something different. Actually, no, I'm going to stay with this.
It's the fact that, well, at least for me, we're so far deep into it. There's no point starting something new from scratch. There's no point. Like, with whatever the problem is, it's 9,000 times easier to fix it than it is to start from scratch. With a new project and new stuff, right? So we're so far deep into it now that there's no point starting, for one. But, you know, to be able to discern whether you should start from scratch or whether you should, you know, see it through, you really, really need to take a step back and actually assess, you know, why you even started to begin with, your motivations behind it, and if this project aligns with it. Because if you're if the reason why you started this project, it still aligns, right? You still align with that. This project will help you fulfill the reason why. Well, then keep going through. If for some reason you turn around and you realize, hey, actually this project does not service me or my why and the reason why I've begun in the first place, well, then you need to pivot to something else that will give you that fulfillment. Because, you know, you could see through that problem, you could overcome it, but at the end of it, you're not going to have, you know, that fulfillment.
Why do you guys want to be in this type of business? Why is it important for you to make money on your own terms and to live life on your own terms?
I think that initially, you know, once again, my reasons were fairly selfish when I first started out. I wanted to have extra money to spend on the weekends. It's just started out. And one of the things that happens is that when you get into online business, And once you see that you can make money online, and once you taste what that's like, it's almost like the Matrix. Once you see into the Matrix, it's very hard to go back to normal society.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things. This is something that one of my old mentors, Jason, used to tell me, which is that there are what's called high income skills. And high income skills are, if you can learn the skills that are valuable to a marketplace that aren't $20 an hour skills, but these are things that, you know, $2,000 a month, $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month skills, which first started out for me was email marketing. If you learn those skills, you are now in control of your financial destiny, of your lifestyle, of obviously over time, your family's future, all these kind of things. And so once you have that taste and you learn, okay, well, Facebook ads or copywriting or all these different skills you can do, once you learn that they can actually completely allow you to design your lifestyle, something that you obviously talk about with your girls, like designing your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Once you learn that you can do that, it's very hard to then separate yourself from it and then be like, ah, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Right. And so for me, it's just that I'm just too far deep in, so I would have to make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
if everything crumbled around me, I lost all of my businesses, I would still find a way to get up and build it from scratch.
Yeah.
Just because you've seen Into the Matrix.
100%. And 100% agree with you there, because it's funny because I've never created a resume before. I would legit. The bridges are so fucking burned. I didn't graduate uni. I dropped out. I've never created a resume. Mm-hmm. I don't really have any quote unquote real world experience because apparently this isn't real world, right?
Yes.
Online business does not exist.
Yes.
I'm in la la land, running my own business. That I would have to make it work, or if everything fell apart, I'd have to start from scratch.
So true. I've had so many people, just haters online, saying, get a real job.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I make real money.
Yeah.
It's just a real job.
Exactly. But even then, like, it's like you look at crypto, like real money isn't even real money anymore.
Yeah.
You know? That is true. That is true. Have you guys gotten any, I guess, in quotation marks, hate from friends or family or just strangers?
I wouldn't label it as hate.
Mm-hmm.
I would never label it as hate. It's more or less just, pettiness, resentment, and just disagreements with the lifestyle, probably more so out of jealousy. I've never experienced like actual hatred where it's like, I hate you, die, that type of stuff. You know what I mean? The hate mail, haven't had that.
Touch wood, that doesn't happen. Have you, James?
Me and Aiden are so tied together, it kind of comes to both of us.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there is going to be, the harder you market yourself, you're going to attract the people that love you, and you're going to push away the people that hate you, and they're probably going to come back with a vengeance. But the biggest thing is that, if somebody's talking negatively about you online, which happens, we get it often, right? That is entirely a reflection of them and how they're feeling inside and what's being triggered inside of them. It has nothing to do with me or Aiden.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm.
That's just the way that I see it.
It's like, it's obviously it's good to be liked and everybody likes to be liked. But that's not the main focus here. The main focus here isn't to be liked.
Yeah.
So that's why it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Does not matter. I don't care if someone likes me or not.
Yeah. But I think that's a great mentality to adopt, and something that I, over the past few years, have really, really set with my identity, because I think I used to have a bit of a fear, like, oh, should I do this? Should I do that? What are my friends? It wasn't even strangers. I didn't care about strangers. It was my friends. It was my friends that I would always be in the back of my mind. Even before I started this podcast, I put it off for months because I was like, what will my friends say when I start a podcast, right? And I think it's one of those things where you need to do it for yourself. You need to do what's important, and people are going to speak regardless, whether that's positive or whether that's negative. Did you get any slack from your family for quitting uni?
I did.
Yeah, yeah.
I did. And it was solely for the reason that, at the end of the day, it was a bit left field. It wasn't what was expected. And for the most part, people don't fully understand. The whole online business world is still so new. And at the end of the day, realistically, your family wants what's best for you, and they want you to be safe and secure. They don't necessarily want you to be making massive risks and building something online for yourself when realistically nobody knows how that's going to go. So you can't blame them for it. You can't hate it for them. And they're fully supportive now. They fully see it. They're amazing. They're so supportive. But now they can see the fruits. They can now see what's been built. In the early stages, of course they can't. And it was just having to make that mental shift where it's like, hey, listen, this is coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
This isn't coming from a place of hate or trying to shut you down or what you want to do, which it could have very easily be taken that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you struggle to live in both worlds though, where your family was kind of like, oh, are you sure you want to do this? And then the back of you is like, no, 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 want to do this. And did you have doubt? Like, maybe this isn't the right thing.
It was one of those things where it obviously plays a part in your brain.
Yeah.
You know, because at the same time, if you ask somebody enough questions, you can easily make them doubt whatever's, you know, one of the most certain beliefs in the world.
Yeah.
For me, it was real once I made my first lot of money. And I remember when I first made my first few dollars online, I was actually out at the time and I sprinted down my street. Like fastest I've ever run in my entire life. Think Forrest Gump. Yeah. Like kicked the door down. I was like, Mom, I made like this amount of money.
She's like, that's
amazing. That's amazing. The dogs need to be fed. Yeah. You know?
And yeah, it's that dismissal. Yeah.
You know? And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, but at the end of the day, it's like, listen, you know, they're not a part of this world.
Yeah.
You know, they don't understand it. And that's totally fine. And as soon as I had that, I now had, okay, this is proof, it's real. That's enough to carry me through as fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. So no, I didn't cop anything from my parents. Yeah. They were very, very supportive of it all throughout, especially because like at a very young age, I had a lot of interest in business and they could obviously see that. They 100% knew that it was going to happen. Mm. I had been, you know, essentially preparing for years, right? I was always jumping into extracurricular activities, at, you know, even high school. To do with like business, like we had this this company came down to our high school and they went to all the different high schools in Perth. It was called Just Start It, and essentially they walk you through like a 12-week process for building a startup business, right? They take you through like the lean startup methodology, stuff like that, right? And I was the leader of my team. I was about 14 at the time, and you know, to cut a long story short, our team ended up coming third in the state. And ever since that was like my first taste of like business, so to speak, right? And I'm like, oh, this is fun. I love this. I love building stuff.
You're like, I found my thing.
Yeah, this exactly. 100%. And like, obviously my parents came to that. Yeah. They were very involved in the process. They, you know, supported me a lot then, that it only made sense, you know, 5 years later that they would be supporting me in my actual real world businesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go back to a point you were saying, James, where, you know, family will support you. Like, they're coming from a place of love, right? Because, you know, they want what's safe, what's best for you. And remember when we met up for coffee last week and we were discussing that the idea of a 9-to-5, that's actually safer. Mm. You know, you have the job security, you have the money security in that sense. And I think a lot of people, or perceptions that I've heard from people that are 9-to-5 but who don't have an online business, kind of think, oh, that's just an easy way to make money, but it's not sustainable. What are your thoughts on, you know, having that 9-to-5 and having an online business?
In my opinion, the biggest thing is that pretty much every business model that you can see online, you've got dropshipping, Amazon, Forex, coaching, consulting, like they all work at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you can, with each of these models, you can get to a point where, you know, you make $2,000 a month, $5,000 a month, $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
However, if you just stick with those base level models, you know, once again, in the same way that if you are working a 9-to-5 job and you break your leg, you're out of an income, the same thing could happen there. You end up in a hospital bed, you've now got no income, right? The biggest thing you have to do is break it down to skills. So what are the skills I'm learning from each business model? Because those are going to be the things that in the toughest of times and the toughest of economies, those are going to be the things that take it from a short-term thing to something long-term, because you're now increasing your value as a human being to the workplace because you've got more skills. And number two is you need to learn how to manage a team. You need to learn how to automate and delegate so that your businesses can run without you, so that you can build multiple. So it's not just one short-term thing that you're doing for 5 years.
Yeah.
It's here's this one short-term thing. I delegate and automated. I have a team here. I start the next one. Delegate, automate, next one. So those short-term things become, number one, a source of learning skills. Mm. Number two, they become multiple different income sources for you over time. So it's not a short-term thing. It becomes a long-term network of businesses.
Yeah. I think that, that was a great way to put it. I was just taking that in. And I think people mistake that you can create that type of system with an online business and make it sustainable. But the goal should always be this long-term system and delegating and creating systems around it. Do you guys have a team that work for you now?
Yes, we do. And we're just, you know, starting to expand it.
Amazing. Yeah. That's exciting. How many people do you have working for you at the moment?
At the moment, we have two that are either, you know, full-time or part-time.
Yep. How did you go about the hiring process? Was it hard?
Yeah, it was a difficult one, and you make all the rookie errors, right? Like hiring your friends and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's obviously some exceptions, right? I mean, my business partner is my best friend, right? So I've just broken the cardinal sin of business right there, right?
Exactly.
So obviously, there's always the exceptions, but no, it's a very how would you put it, like, it's an unnatural process to go through as a 20-year-old to hire people. It was so unnatural. It feels very weird. It's like, wait, so I pay you, you're pretty much like a kid, you know, almost to me.
Yeah.
I have to take care of you. I have to,
you're a provider.
No, yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? Exactly. And yeah, we're just starting to actually learn like the ins and outs of actually hiring people, and as well as managing, delegating tasks and stuff like that. Because that's even that, you know, forget about like even the hiring process.
Yeah,
like that's a whole nother level.
Mm. Yeah. So what is your vision for a team and your businesses? Because I know you guys are wanting to expand, and I know you mentioned you have a few secret things that you're working on. Mm. What's the vision for the business?
So for me, one of the biggest things I'm really heavy on is mindset and peak performance and developing yourself as a person. If you're not growing, you're dying. And so one of the biggest things is that as I build the team, if people are coming on the journey with us and they're a part of our circle, we want them to constantly be developing. It's not just, here's a bunch of tasks, here's a bunch of KPIs, here's your monthly paycheck, and that's it. It's, if you're gonna be in our environment and you're helping us, I also wanna support you, I wanna enrich you, I wanna build you the skills. 100%. You know, aura rings, for team members, so you can track sleep and grow together and that kind of stuff. I want to be a part where people can grow with our company. If they do decide to leave at some point, they're leaving a better person, and hey, they've also built skills, once again, that they can bring to the marketplace. So we're leaving them better than when we found them.
Yeah. I don't want to just give people employment or a job opportunity. I want to give them like a lifestyle.
Yes.
And, you know, I like having the almost like little, you know, family type community and group that you create when you start to have people come on board with your team.
Mm.
Would you ever expand to a point where you would have like an office?
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what we're doing
actually
in the next few months.
Yeah,
really? That's exciting. Yeah. How are you going about that? And what made you choose to want to take that route, I guess, with the business?
Yeah, well, obviously having an office, it creates almost like a hub for hustling, like a little hustle hub. Everyone can come in and work, interact with each other. But as well, like teams just work better in person, right?
Yeah.
Yes, there's this whole, and like, you know, the whole like community as a whole, like entrepreneurship kind of idolizes and, you know, romanticizes the laptop lifestyle, the, you know, work on your laptop at the beach, that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's cool to an extent if you're running like it's just a solo type business.
Yeah.
It's just yourself, and it's more or less you're building a lifestyle rather than an empire, which is something that we're trying to build. We're trying to build something that will continue to grow and as quickly as possible.
Mm.
And we need to make sure that everyone's on the same page and everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing and everyone's growing in those tasks.
Yeah. And I also don't think you can really create company culture over like Slack. Like when we do get our office done, we're gonna fit it out, we're gonna have awesome elements to it, like it's not gonna be like fucking Google headquarters.
And you want
to
stay in Perth,
we wanted to
and do that. I mean, you never know. It could be the next Google headquarters.
But it's gonna have the cool art, it's going to have the graphics and the decor and the mini fridges and all that kind of fun stuff. You know, like a couple gaming tables and stuff, because we want to be somewhere that people can actually come to, do their role. We're not going to accept that we're slacking, but also, hey, listen, this is a fun place to be, because going back to what Aiden said about laptop lifestyle, it's cool for a few months and then it's lonely.
Yeah.
And even then, me and Aiden, we work in this apartment 7 days a week. It's great, but I would much rather keep my apartment my home and go to work in a work environment. You know, so that's something that is just more of a natural evolution as we scale.
I resonate with that so much. I feel like my living space is my working space, and it gets too much sometimes to kind of have everything together. That's why I like to go out, maybe work somewhere else, work at a cafe or something. And it's not like consistent, but it's nice to have different spaces, different environments. Do you guys get sick of each other? You're with each other 24/7.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
Do
you have those hard conversations where it's like, you're pissing me off now, James?
usually not.
Do you want to explain the cue? The cue we both have is if we are like getting socially exhausted of each other and we're working.
Oh yeah.
There's like this. We both say it. We're just like, all right, man, I'm just going to head up back to my apartment and get some work done.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's cue for, I'm getting sick of you. Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll come up with some sort of excuse.
I'm going to go cook my dinner.
Yeah, I'm going to go cook my dinner. I'm going to go upstairs. I won't see you until tomorrow. I need to go to the toilet. I've got a toilet here, you know.
Yeah, no, I got to go use my
toilet.
Yeah, go to the bathroom upstairs. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are you packing your laptop, Aiden?
I'll be back tomorrow.
It's the unspoken subtlety.
Yeah.
That's good though. Yeah. That's good. And I'm sure you guys get to the point where it's like, yeah, okay, like I'm just going to respect that. That's cool. Because you need your own space. But going back to the work ethic, do you find that it's better for you guys to always be together, or do you prefer working separately? And then kind of at the end of the day being like, okay, this is what I've done.
It depends. It depends on where we're at in the business and what tasks are being done. If it's a repetitive task or something that I can do by myself and I don't need too much input from James, because it's something that's in my domain and my, like, you know, aspects of the business, well, then I love to do that stuff alone. Because otherwise then, you know, I'm just open up to more distractions. And I'm not in my, you know, my usual environment, which is my apartment, my little home office.
Yeah. And what we find is that if we're in a phase where we're strategizing, oftentimes, a couple of times a week, me and Aiden sit down and for 3 to 4 hours, we're just yelling at a piece of paper, scrambling ideas. This is what we need to do about this. This is what we need to do about that. We let it out. We let the ideas marinate.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we'll come back and be like, okay, well, that was a terrible idea. That was a terrible idea. This is gold. This is gold. And we'll build up like an action plan, and then I'll go back to my apartment, I'll work on my side. Aiden will go back to work on his side, we'll come back together. This worked, this didn't. What's the next thing? And we keep on
exactly.
going.
Yeah.
I don't think I mentioned this, but James and I didn't actually live in the same building. Is there a reason you guys didn't want to live together?
There's probably a lot of reasons why, but just to cut it short, we both like our own rooms, our own privacy.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, holidaying together is fantastic and we don't have any issues there, but I don't see us living together and still wanting to run a business together. You know what I mean?
And also we have kind of different lifestyles.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I like to get up early. Yeah. My routine, I like to get up early. I play like classical records at like 10 p.m. at night time before bed.
And I'll be punching a boxing bag in my apartment.
Aiden's heading off to the gym, is doing that kind of stuff. It's just very, very different.
Very different.
Realistically, you know, me and Aiden can fight all day long. It's not going to affect our business because we're professional.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want to live together and end up hating each other because that would be very different, a lot harder to fix.
Yeah.
So. That's so interesting. Okay, morning routines. What are your morning routines?
Ooh, I'll let you go first.
So there's when I'm disciplined and when I'm not disciplined.
Mm.
Okay, so when I'm disciplined, it pretty much goes, I try to get early, so that's anywhere between 5 and 6.30.
Mm-hmm.
I always go to the gym first thing. I don't really do well with gyms in the afternoon because it just breaks up my flow. I go to the gym early in the morning. I'll listen to either an audio program from, say, Tony Robbins or a podcast. There and back, music at the gym, do my thing. Come back, cold shower when I feel like it. I'll always try and get meditation done.
Mm.
And then some sort of, I guess it's called Kaizen. It's a Japanese principle, never any improvement. So I'll either go into a course for an hour, I'll read a book for an hour, I'll even go through Reddit threads, or I'll read, you know, product reviews or anything like that to feed my brain.
Yeah.
That's when I'll have my like money tropics and stuff. Yeah. And then I go into work, you know, and that seems to work best for me. Anytime I try to add too much to my morning routine, it becomes like a checklist. It takes me half a day to finish. And once it's done, I'm like, I don't want to work.
Yeah.
I want to go to bed.
I've had that before, where it's like, it's like this long checklist of stuff, and then it's like, oh, I've like lived a whole year in a morning.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about your morning routine?
Yeah, that's the exact reason why I don't have one.
I love the honesty. No, it's good.
Maybe I'm committing one of the biggest entrepreneur sins, not having a morning routine, because it's such a thing everyone idolizes.
That's
it.
Why I asked. Yeah,
you have to have a morning routine. No, you don't. I don't have one.
Mm.
If I were to, you know, reduce it down to a routine, what my morning routine is, it's wake up either 6 or 7. Right, I don't even have a set wake up time because of many different things. I'm so busy, I sometimes go to bed super late. So I need to make sure I sleep. I'm not gonna be stuck rigid to, I have to wake up at 6.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if I go to bed at 2 a.m. I need to wake up, no. And then for the first couple of hours of my day, it's literally doing whatever the hell I want. If I wanna go to the gym in the morning, I go to the gym in the morning. If I wanna do all my cooking in the morning, because I meal prep, I do that in the morning. If I wanna read a book, I'll do that. If I wanna go for a walk, I do that. Whatever I need to do to get myself into the state. That's all that matters.
Okay.
The whole point of the routine is to get you into a working state. Yes. I don't know what that's going to be for the day. Yeah. I'll figure it out in the
morning. Yeah. And also the thing with Aiden is that he can work extremely late at night. Yeah. Sometimes he'll message. I'll get messages coming through. I'll wake up because for me, if it's like after...
You're like, I'm done by 7 p.m.
Yeah. If it's after 7 p.m, I just can't really work.
Yeah.
And so I'll be up early, I'll do my thing. But it's like 7 o'clock, 8 at night. For some reason, my brain just doesn't function.
See, mine is like, nah, it's time to function.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Yeah. So now I'll get messages from him. It'll be like 40 voice messages. Like, yes. It's like, bro, this happened, blah. And I wake up and I'm like, I can't open this.
You're
right
like, this at 2 a.m. What is this? Yeah, that's so funny. I don't know, I've just always been a night owl. And when I used to PT, it was not good because for a PT, you have to get up at 4 to 4.30 a.m. Here I am going to bed at like 1, 2 a.m. Yeah. And, you know, this is before I started my business and started to like get into personal development. So I'm just like learning, you know, and I'm the same. I structure my day so I work during the day because it's just more effective. But then it gets to the night, I'm like, I could just keep going. Yeah, like last week, 100%. I had 3 late nights in a row. Like 2-3 a.m.
I love it.
I got so much done and I was just like, I prefer this. I would sleep all day and work in the night.
100%. That's one of the reasons as well. Like I don't even bother with a strict morning routine because like you still need to get your seven or eight hours sleep.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, let's just get everything done. Let's, you know, work as late as possible without, you know, burning out and stuff like that. Let's get it all done and I'll just sleep until 10. Who really cares?
Yeah.
As long as I don't miss anything important. Like if I've got a call at 9, obviously don't miss that. But if it's not going to affect the business like that, well then that's okay.
You know? Yeah. Do you guys have discussions like, okay, I want to work together tomorrow, like 11 because we've got stuff on or...
Yeah. Yeah. Usually do, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly, but we know our roles because we have two very different roles in each of our businesses. Mm. But realistically, it's like, link up around 11 and then we figure out, you know, one of us may be late from the gym, one of us may be busy, you know, may have had something on the morning.
Yeah.
You know, but realistically, like we always make it work.
Do you try to majority work in the afternoon? So you guys are kind of working at the same time at some point in your day?
We usually both start at around 10, 11.
Okay.
Right. Anyways, we'll start around then and we usually finish, well, most of the big tasks get finished around 5.
Okay.
And then what I would usually do is at around 5, I'd go, you know, gym or I'll go do something else for an hour or two and essentially, you know, maybe even nap. I just do something to refresh my state and then I'm like, well, I'm all energized again now.
Yeah.
Let's get some more work done and then I'll work for a couple more hours.
Actually, I have a question.
Go for it.
Phones. Do you check as soon as you wake up, before you go to bed? Do you have bad habits around your phones?
Yeah, I have the worst.
Yeah.
I have, so I've kind of set my own trap with it. So one of the biggest things to wake up early is I love it once I'm up. Like I feel on top of the world, but I struggle to get up. So I have this app called Alarmy and I don't know if you've heard of it.
What's it called?
It's a torture device. Alarmy. And so the way it works is this. Your alarm goes off and you can't switch it off. Yeah. In order to switch it off, so you can't snooze, there's no snooze button, you have to do an activity. So that could be doing a math puzzle, that could be doing steps, it tracks the steps.
I go
and I like scan the barcode of the back of my coffee machine. And until you do that, it won't stop.
What?
Right? So it forces you to get out of bed. And it's even better because I don't have it next to my bed, I have it on the floor. So I have to get up out of bed, pick it up, come out here and scan my coffee. Now the issue is I have to open my phone to do that, right?
Yeah.
And so I do it and I'm like, oh my God. And I like, you know, close the alarm app.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, messages. Oh, dopamine. Oh, YouTube videos. Yeah. Oh, Instagram. And I go through that 5 minutes and I throw the phone down, pre-workout, get out the door for the gym.
Mm.
You know, but like that gets me into that reactive thing. So I kind of then go meditate once I get back from the gym to center myself.
Yeah.
That alarm is insane behavior. Never.
Yeah. it's torture.
I might give it a shot this week. But I don't know.
I remember when you introduced that to me. He was like raving on about it for like a week.
Because it works.
And he's like, oh, it's so good. You got to get on it. I was like, all right, yeah, sure. Install it on my phone. And he installed it. And as soon as he left, I fucking deleted it.
That's what I'm doing. I set it off like 5 a.m. Yeah. And it was like the most obnoxious
I'm like,
alarm.
No, delete.
Delete the app.
Never again.
I'm on the pro plan as well. So there's a pro version, which is like 10
what
bucks a month.
What is that?
And essentially what it does is, you can like scan the alarm and do all that kind of stuff and turn it off. But then what stops you from going back to bed, right?
Yeah.
So what happens is, with the pro plan, it not only does that, but then it will send you a notification 10 minutes later, it's like, are you still in bed? Then 30 minutes later, are you still in bed? And if you don't click the button, if you don't click the button within a minute, it goes off again. The whole cycle repeats.
Oh my god.
And so I have those reminders up as well.
Look, I will try it once. I'll try it tomorrow. I do got to be up early tomorrow, so I'll try it. And if it gives me PTSD...
It will.
Yeah, it will.
It's traumatic.
That sounds like a traumatic time. Oh my god. Yeah, I think in the morning, I cannot, like, I'll turn off my alarm. I rarely ever set an alarm because I just wake up naturally. But yeah. I'll wake up and I'll kind of flip my phone over just to see what the time is. And I, you know how you can just gaze at the time and you don't, I don't like register anything that's happening, because the moment I start to see like my business email, my WhatsApps, any, I have the rest of my notifications off. I start to get stressed out and I start to feel like, okay, I need to get into work or I can't concentrate on going to the gym, because I prefer going in the morning as well to get my day started. But I find, yeah, in the morning, if I, the moment I kind of register everything, I'll go through my emails, go through my WhatsApp, then I'll pop onto Instagram. Before I know it, I've been laying in bed for 30 minutes and I can't. But nighttime, I'm bad. I'll scroll until I fall asleep.
Yeah.
Or I'll be watching YouTube or something like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like to start my mornings off very slowly. Mm. So if I know, like I account for like 2 hours of literally lazy time, you know, I could do nothing in that
maybe
2 hours.
I need to do that.
And that's okay. If I've scheduled that in and I can schedule all my tasks around that, well then I can, you know, it's okay if I spend 15 minutes scrolling on Instagram or doing this or doing that. It's okay if I go for a walk in the morning. Mm. If I go and do this, I can go and I go and do that. And just the slow start to the day, it allows me to slowly build up momentum.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, for at least me personally, if you rush the morning and you're like, I get 50 million things done in the first 2 hours, but then I do nothing for the rest of the day because I'm so exhausted and so burnt out. And especially with me personally, I love to work at nighttime. Mm. I do need to have a bit of a slower start to my day to slowly get into the ease where I'm
that's
at peak
my,
at nighttime.
Yeah, that's my problem. Yeah. I like start my day off and I'm like, go, go, go. And then I'll like start to crash a little bit and I'll have to like stop my workflow, because you realize when you're zoning out or when you're just not being effective with your work. And I think I just, my thing is I wake up, go to the gym, and I'll just start to think of all the things. Like as an entrepreneur, your head is constantly going. Yes. I could do this. There's this idea. Go, go, go. And I think that's one thing I'm trying to get better at this year, is to have that time to start my morning and be okay that, okay, I'm going to start work at this time and just leave it for then and enjoy your morning. Whereas I'm like, oh no, I'm thinking about all this stuff and start to get stressed out. But I'll try the slow morning and I'll try alarmy.
Okay, it's really,
it's really, really good as well. Like I like to go for like nice morning walks for about an hour. Mm. So I will, I'll either make a coffee at mine because I do decaf. Or I'll go and buy a decaf if I can find a cafe that sells decaf.
Wait, really?
So hard to find. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I am so surprised at that.
What, the fact that I drink decaf?
That cafes don't sell decaf.
Oh yeah, they don't. They don't. They never do. It's really hard to find one. But yeah, so I'll have my decaf in the morning. I'll go for a walk, like Kings Park, for example, right up there, right? I'll listen to an audiobook, or I'll consume a piece of content that I know will get me that little bit extra further.
Yeah.
Or it's like, I need to learn about a specific topic. Yeah. I need to consume this media so I can better myself, either as a person, in my health, my businesses, stuff like that. And I'll dedicate the morning to that. And I will literally just forget about everything else. I'll block everything else and just have some time to, one, think, which is very important as an entrepreneur.
Yes.
That's where all your best ideas come from. From thinking. Dedicate the morning to thinking and consuming content that will push me further.
Yeah.
And as well, doing leisurely stuff.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think that a super crazy morning routine is necessary. There's like three things need. It's literally, outside of everything else, is number one, hydrate. Right, there's like the saying, which is like, when you go to bed, you're like a grape. When you wake up, you're like a raisin. Right, because all the water's gone.
Yeah.
So you need to hydrate. Number two is you need to move. Right, whether that's a morning walk, whether that's going to the gym. Right, you need to get your lymphatic system going. Mm. Otherwise, if you don't, like, it's shown to lead to early death. So move, and then third is pretty much just do something to move yourself forward. As you said, like, you got to stand guard at the door of your mind. right? It's one of the things where you can either, you know, go, what are your subscriptions on YouTube? What's new? You know, what's up on Instagram? Or you can listen on audiobook. You can make sure you start the day off. You can go through that kind of stuff later.
Yeah.
But you want to make the tone of the day, listen, I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm getting that good stuff in.
Yes.
Before anything else kind of comes in, because now you've got something to compare it to.
Yeah. I agree. And I actually had someone, I said those three things to someone, this was a while back, but they said, I work a 9 to 5. How am I possibly meant to do all that? And I said, well, you can hydrate. If you don't have time to get up earlier to go to a gym or your group class, whatever it is, get out of bed, just shake, move, walk around your house, do something. And you're in your car driving or whether you're in the train, listen to a podcast or something. Yeah. I think with that type of routine and those three things, there's no excuses.
100%.
No matter what you
100%.
Do. 100%.
And as well, you got to, like, when it comes to the content that you're consuming, you have to really heavily protect that.
Yeah.
Make sure you're only seeing good content, and you also want to separate your personal and your development content. For example, and what I mean by that is I have two YouTube accounts, for example. One that I watch all the trashy crap on, and then one that I watch all my businessy, personal growth and development stuff.
Smart.
And I, it's really smart, because even if I end up in a YouTube wormhole, it's only content that is, you know, going to further myself, or personal growth content. If I go to my home screen on my YouTube, then it's only going to be like personal growth.
Yeah.
It's like Neville Goddard, you know, audiobooks and stuff like that. And it's a lot harder to actually go into that YouTube wormhole if it's all personal growth stuff, because you'll consume a 30-minute video and you're like, I've learned a lot, my brain is fueled, and you're not getting recommended, you know, some crappy YouTube videos, then you just stop it. You're like, okay, cool, I'm done for the day.
I'm good.
And then you move on. And when you do want to watch that crap on YouTube, you just switch the accounts.
Wow.
I do it for YouTube. I do it for... Instagram as well.
Yeah.
I haven't done it for Facebook, but I've deleted the Facebook app.
So
that helps.
I have wanted, actually, hang on. Let me acknowledge your YouTube tip. I love it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to start doing that because my feed is like just shit and then business stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's, this cycle of it. So I love that. I'm going to start doing that. Instagram, I have gotten into a really good habit in the day, in the week, Monday to Friday, I don't really consume the news feed at all.
Yeah.
I will post a story. I might watch the first couple of stories. I'm on Instagram business-wise and I'm in the DMs.
Yeah.
Right. And that has become such a good habit for me because I'm not consuming and scrolling. I don't even think about it anymore.
Yeah.
Facebook, the app, the only reason I have it is my free Facebook group and part... My membership is on a platform, but then just to check if anyone's posted anything and reminders. But apart from that, I don't use Facebook newsfeed.
Yeah.
I hate consuming the crap on there.
There's a lot of crap on there, yeah.
And what people are saying, I'm like, no. What do you do with your newsfeeds?
Look, the hardest thing for me is I have interests around movies, and superheroes, I love that kind of stuff. I was a magician growing up, so I look at magic content.
Oh, amazing.
I have a lot of interest in weird kind of stuff, and so that's all on my Facebook. That's all on my YouTube.
Okay.
And so I fall down that rabbit hole a lot more.
Yeah.
We've got the new Justice League coming tonight at 4 PM. So I'm super stoked about that. And it's the last week I've been updates, what's good? It's super nerdy.
Yeah.
So I'm I have that
news
feed.
Yeah.
You know, so what I have though is with Instagram, I don't really care about people's news, the feed on Instagram. It's just people taking photos of themselves for validation.
Yeah.
Stories are bad. Stories I can get attached on because there's always those six people you find really entertaining.
Yeah.
But Facebook, what I do is there's a Google Chrome extension you probably know. It's called Newsfeed Eradicator.
Yeah.
I use that and it comes up with a productivity quote from Seneca or something. And I read that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's pretty good. So that's fine. Good. So basically I struggle with Instagram stories and YouTube. I can now steal your tip.
Yeah, I'm stealing
you're telling
that
me
tip.
That is the... That
he hasn't told me this.
You haven't even checked that one with your
business
partner.
What kind of business partner?
Yeah, what kind of business
It's honestly the best... That little tip right there, if you know, I'm going to be very bold here and I'm going to say that's made me multiple six figures. Because otherwise...
Literally,
100%. Because otherwise, you know, the amount of time that I used to waste on YouTube was astronomical.
Sense.
It was insane.
Oh, same. Because you just keep going and going and going. And mine's just it's got all the business and good stuff. Then it's got some vloggers that I follow.
Yes.
And then I'll admit, I get down conspiracy YouTube.
Oh, yeah, don't get me started.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, that's the worst.
And I do not stop. I'm like, okay, one more. And then I'm like, wow, like, that's a good conspiracy.
The creepypastas and stuff like that.
Serial killer documentaries.
Yes. Serial killer documentaries, yes.
I got into this channel like literally a week ago. Like, could have saved me. it's this thing, and it breaks down like police interrogations of serial killers, and it shows the moments they confess and breaks down like the interagration techniques they use.
Oh,
I can't remember. I can send you a link.
Yeah. You get stuck on YouTube again.
Because I learned sales, obviously getting into online business.
Yeah.
So I love like the psychology of persuasion and stuff like that. And I'm like, it's that, but making serial killers confess to crimes. And so I was like, this is great. And each time's like 55 minutes, an hour.
Oh, that sounds
hour and a half.
So good.
Oh, and send the link. I'm down for that. One thing that I kind of, have a bad habit around, TikTok newsfeed. Do you guys consume TikTok?
Yes.
TikTok.
So I
think everyone has this problem.
I've had to hide the TikTok app from my home screen.
Oh, I need to start doing that. I used to do that, and then I brought it back out.
Yeah. And that's a terrible one. But it's like, I only got the app recently.
Mm.
So because I told you to?
Yeah. It literally, so it can send me stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm not too deep into the TikTok rabbit hole. It's not a habit so much.
You guys gotta look up conspiracy TikTok. Honestly, it's worse than YouTube. You will not stop.
I'm sure you have the same thing where it's like TikTok, their algorithm is so good.
My
sense of humor is so stupid. Like, the more abstract and random it is, the better. And so my newsfeed, like, I'll send stuff to Aiden or my girlfriend or something, and they're like, how is this coming up on your newsfeed? It's so stupid.
Yeah.
And I'm going through and it hits me on every single angle. And it adds, like, even where it's like, I'm starting to feel bad about, I shouldn't be watching these stupid videos. I should be, working my business. It's like, oh, here's a internet marketing guru giving you a little bit of information. Now we're back to retarded stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, it just gets me.
They know what's up.
They do. They have built such a good algorithm.
It's
because
so
I'm the same. Mine does that too. It'll be like conspiracies, and then it'll be like something really funny, and then it will get me in with like a business thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it got me again.
Have you seen the ones where it's like, they'll be like, you wouldn't believe what happened to this girl when she walked into this bank. And it's like a minute long TikTok, and it's like, go to my profile for part two. And it's like, so I didn't even get to see it. All right, go to the part three, part four. And it's
I can suck it into the, there's conspiracies and weird stories of people, and it's like a 6-part thing, and I'm like, I'm in now.
Yeah.
I need to know what happens.
Too deep, yeah.
And then you think it's just a quick TikTok, but they're all like a minute long.
Yeah.
And so you're essentially watching a YouTube video, but with
you
more
are.
Time in between finding the different pieces.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It turns like a 10-minute YouTube video into a 20-minute process.
That's
you have to
literally
find
what
them.
It is.
It's so
so you waste more time.
Or even worse, and this is like another side of it, is you'll come across like, the sounds on TikTok where it's like some like really funny sound.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, that's really funny. Let me click on the sound and see all the other people doing videos the exact same sound.
Yeah.
And so it's like, let me watch all the remixes of the video that's just wasted my time and waste even more time.
That's one thing. I'm just like, I try not to go on it in the day because it will just break me out. It'll be like, I'm eating food or I'm just like chilling. But then I literally have to say to myself, it is time to get off TikTok now, Jess.
Yeah.
Swipe off it.
What you can do, I did it for like literally a day and I got mad at it, so I turned it off.
Yeah.
But you can do it. Is that if you go to screen time on your iPhone settings,
I've turned
it locks you out. It locks you out after an app, but then you just go back to settings and like, nah, I want to keep going.
See, that's why I just like got rid of it, because I was like, wow, this is so good. I'm going to be productive. And then you just keep saying no.
Yeah, and then you get mad.
You do.
You just get mad and you start hitting
the phone.
Because
it keeps coming up.
Yeah. It's like, so. Oh, I was talking about the I think we're talking about the same thing. Where, say for example, you set an hour TikTok limit.
No.
So you'd be like, I'm only allowed on TikTok for an hour a day or 10 minutes a day.
Wait, and then it blocks you from the app.
You can't use the app, right?
Oh my god.
So you'd be on TikTok. I think I had it for like 10 minutes a day. I was on TikTok and it was like, oh, your time on TikTok is now done. And I was like, I'm not a child. I can get back on TikTok.
Don't tell me how to do
my life. And I turned it back on again. So
okay, maybe I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
An hour of TikTok a day.
You won't last. But...
Yeah, I know. That's what I think. Because that's why it's like, that's so easy to just turn it straight off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know. So what are the big plans for you guys over the next few months?
Good question. The biggest thing we're focusing on right now is growing and scaling our businesses, yeah. Whether it's a Brightly Teeth or a dropshipping business or even like our coaching and consulting. We're aggressively growing and scaling those and building the needed infrastructure and systems to be able to do so. Mm-hmm. And as well, without it, you know, taking up too much of our time, because last thing we want to do is have to, you know, literally work 100 hours in a day.
Yeah.
You know, and that can happen very, very quickly as you grow. I'm sure you're aware. Yeah.
Yeah. So true. Do you find that now you guys have a good balance of hustle and flow, or if it's more hustle at the moment?
I think we do pretty well.
Yeah, pretty well. Mm. It's not too bad. It's one of those things you can always, you'll have your moments where you're like, I should be working more. And then you'll have your moments where it's like, I should be, you know, essentially relaxing more or, you know, have some more playtime. But for the most part, over a week, it's fairly like well-structured, right?
Yeah.
Where it's not too much like, it's not like too aggressive work where we feel like we're going to burn out, but it's also like we're not too leisurely and we don't get much done. You know?
Yeah.
It's all about finding that perfect balance.
So how can people work with you if they want to do what you've done with Brightly?
Yeah, so pretty simple. There is tons of information about how to build e-commerce businesses, launch them, scale them, that kind of stuff. But the issue with what's going on now is that there's so many courses, so many YouTube channels. The information is out there for free.
Yeah.
And the idea of mentorship has died.
Yeah.
The reason why we've gotten so far is we've had mentors in every single one of our areas. Mm. And so we like to carry that tradition on with our clients. And so everything we do with them is customized coaching. They get one-on-one access 7 days a week. Mm. And it's a real mentorship experience, not a course where you're left to your own devices. So pretty simple. It's an application only process. What you can do is you can go to brandbuildermentoring.com.
I'll leave it all in the show notes below, guys.
There we go. You go to that website. There's a quick video of me just breaking down a bit of, you know, how e-commerce works nowadays. It's a really valuable training. You can go ahead, put your information in, apply. It takes 5 minutes. And you want to get on a call with either myself, Aiden, or an expert on our team. We'll figure out what are your biggest sticking points, where are you at in the process, and what do you need most. We'll build a custom game plan around that, whether that be working with us on a one-on-one basis or whether that be just going off and we'll give you some free training on the side. We will make sure you leave the call with a game plan. It's not just a sales call. Mm. Okay, and that's how they can get in contact. And we love working with every one of our clients. It's really, really fun, and it's really personal as well versus what's out there on the market at the moment.
That's exciting. But yes, as I said, I'll leave that all in the show notes below. Thank you, boys, for coming on to the podcast. I appreciate you both. And this has been great.
This was a lot of fun.
Chat. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. Looking for the sequel.
Yes, for sure. Look out for the sequel. Thank you. I'm not afraid to